This is a bad idea.
No, it's not.
Tonight we find out if Mom died for nothing. Tonight we find out what really killed her.
The brave thoughts did little to loosen his knotting muscles as the last rays of the sun winked out and he was bathed in darkness.
Here they come.
The mist coalesced slowly, demon bodies gaining substance as they slipped from the ground. Arlen rose with them, clenching his small fists. As always, the flame demons came first, scampering about in delight, trailing flickering fire as they went. These were followed by the wind demons, which immediately ran and spread their leathery wings. Last came the rock demons, laboriously hauling their heavy frames from the core. And then the Corlings saw Arlen and charged the helpless boy. A swooping wind demon struck first. Sparks flew as the talons struck his wards, deflecting the attack. The creature struck the ground, and it pulled itself upright, twitching as energy danced across its scales. Next came the nimble flame demons, the largest no bigger than a dog. They skittered forward and began clawing at the shield. When they saw that Arlen had woven an effective net, they spat fire at him. Arlen was wise to the trick, of course. He had been warding since he was old enough to hold a stick of charcoal, and he knew the wards against fire spit. The flames were turned as effectively as the claws. He didn't even feel the heat. More wind demons swooped in and were thrown back by the wards. The flame demons, too, began to hurl themselves at him in frustration. Again and again, they were thrown back. Arlen ceased to flinch.
Come on, you buggers! You'll never get through! You can't get me!
This was what he feared? This was what humanity lived in terror of? These pathetic, frustrated beasts?
Ridiculous.
In the flickering light of the flame demons, Arlen saw the Corling host part, clearing a path for a rock demon that stomped towards him. Arlen craned his head upward as the monster approached. Even at a distance, it was a towering, hulking mass of sinew and sharp edges. Its thick black carapace was knobbed with bony protrusions, and its spiked tail slid back and forth, balancing its massive shoulders. It stood hunched on two clawed feet that dug great grooves in the ground with every thunderous step. Its long, gnarled arms ended in talons the size of butchering knives, and its drooling maw split wide to reveal row after row of blade-like teeth. A black tongue slipped out, tasting Arlen's fear. One of the flame demons failed to move from its path quickly enough, and the rock demon swiped at it in an offhanded manner. Arlen took a step back, and then another, as the giant Corling approached. It was only at the last moment that he came to his senses and stopped before he retreated right out of the protective circle. Remembering the circle gave fleeting comfort. Arlen doubted his wards were strong enough for this test. He doubted any wards were. The demon regarded him for a long moment, savoring his terror. The demon struck. He peeked out as the Corling whirled, smashing its heavy horned tail against the wards. Arlen picked up a stone and threw it at the demon.
Go back to the core where you belong! Go back and die!
Ashamed of himself, of his cowardice, Arlen came to his feet and met the demon's eyes.
Come on, you pathetic whelp! You're nothing! You and all your little piss-ant friends! You're nothing!
Arlen began jumping up and down, waving his arms. Then he slipped and stepped on a ward. When they moved as one. Arlen whipping out his etching stick and diving for the ward. Even as the demon swiped a massive clawed hand at him. Even as he repaired the ward with a slash of the tool, he knew he was too late. The claws had begun to cut into his flesh. But then the magic took effect once more. And the demon was hurled back. He rolled over and pulled the claws from his back, hurling them away before he could realize what had happened. He saw it then, lying in the circle, twitching and smoking. The demon's arm. He looked at the arm, its end neatly severed and cauterized, oozing a foul smoke. With more bravery than he felt, Arlen picked up the massive thing and tried to hurl it from the circle. But the wards made a two-way barrier. The stuff of Corlings could no more pass out than in. Then the pain set in. Arlen touched the wounds along his back, and his hands came away wet with blood. Sickened, his strength ebbed, and he fell to his knees. He was weeping from the pain, weeping for fear of moving and scuffing another ward, and weeping, most of all, for his man. He understood now the pain she had felt that night. Arlen spent the rest of the night cowering in fright. He could hear the demons circling, waiting, hoping for an error that would allow them access. Even if sleep had been possible, he would not have dared attempt it, lest a shift in his slumber grant the Corlings their wish. Dawn seemed to take years to come. Arlen looked up at the sky often that night, but each time he saw only the giant, crippled rock demon clutching its caked and Icarus wound as it stalked the circle, hatred in its eyes. After an eternity, a hint of red tinged the horizon, followed by orange, yellow, and then a glorious white. The other Corlings slipped back down to the core before the yellow touched the sky, but the giant waited until the last. Its rows of teeth bared. But even the one-armed rock demon's hatred was no match for its fear of the sun. As the last shadow scurried away, its massive horned head sank beneath the ground.